Well, I really have to commend you, because at this point it's probably easier to speak than it is to listen, because you've been doing an awful lot of listening. And so great to have a good group like this here together. I apologize for having been short in the handouts. Last session we had like maybe 8 or 10, and so I had plenty. And then this one, anybody not get one that you would like one? I can email it to you, pastor@stoneridgebaptistchurch.org. If not, if you've spread it out, then we can get started right away. All right, one of the challenges in being in a pastor's family, or one of the challenges of being in a family where the husband and wife are focusing on ministry, is keeping the balance of ministering to folks within the church as well as protecting your family. That is a difficult balance. And particularly as a pastor, there's evening responsibilities, because a pastor has to be available when the people are available, and so there's a lot of things to balance there. What we don't want to have happen is have a minister serve the congregation to the neglect of his families. On the other hand, he shouldn't focus on family time to the exclusion of ministry. He has to be available and use his gifts for the church. And so, I would like to share with you what I heard back in the 90s when Wayne Van Gelderen Sr. was preaching on this very topic. Because I looked at him as a man who had 5 children, 3 sons, 2 daughters. They all went into the ministry. And I wanted to hear what he had to say as he was speaking on this very topic. And he answered it very shortly. He said, include your family in the ministry. Don't make them compete. Include them in the ministry. So rather than being like, okay, you know, dad's going out to serve the Lord, everybody else is going to stay back here. You say, I'm bringing my son with me. Bring my daughter. This is going to be family time. We're going to the nursing home and we're going to serve together. I think about another family that I've gotten acquainted over the last several years, the Savinsky family. Brother Savinsky has been in evangelism for several decades. All 3 of his sons became evangelists, and his daughter as well is in the ministry. What did they do? Well, they had meetings every night. Every night. And that can either make young man say, this is not what I want at all for the ministry, or I love this and this is what I want to do. And so the Lord's used him, and I hope that's an encouragement to you. So that is really what we're striving for in our family, is to serve together as a family. I want to be balanced in what you understand. This do need to take time away for family time, but some of the best memories can be serving the Lord together. And as a church planter, there's a lot of opportunities that I have to do to create new contacts. I remember one specific time, our guest cards were getting very low. And we had our new church sign up, and all the people that were going to come kind of had stopped coming. It was like, okay, we hit a dry spell. What are we going to do? And we have young kids. At that time, they were like 2, 5, and 8, something like that. It's like, okay, what are we going to do? I felt like the Lord wanted me to make 500 new contacts within that particular month, so I said, all right, that's 25 new people a day, 5 days a week, for 4 weeks. Now, that can compete with family time. And so I said, all right, this night's going to be with this daughter, this night's going to be with this son, this night's going to be with this daughter. We don't keep a schedule like that all the time. That's not fair to them. It's not appropriate. God doesn't expect that of us. But there are times when the ministry does demand that kind of intensity. I'm telling you what, the kids loved it. I was like, all right, now in this pocket, you put your tracks. So they load up their tracks. This pocket, you put your candy. They're like, oh, Dad, I love visitation. So they have candy here. And the youngest ones especially, you know, she'd count every door, it's another piece, you know, and she'd go over there, rum, 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 and she just thought it was great. And the kids to this day, they think visitation is really exciting. And they're getting older now where they're recognizing the spiritual side of it. It's not just spending time with Daddy. They're seeing lives changed. I remember from that particular month that we had that focus, family came in, a family of 4, a husband and wife, and then 2 kids. And my daughter came, we teach your kids not to run in church. She came running up to me in church, and that time it was probably okay. She's like, Dad, they're here. The family that we met, door to door, didn't know from anywhere else. And they came to the service and had opportunity to minister to their family. So, number one, I've just put this down as different points that I hope can help you. And when I do an outline like this, what I'm hoping is you'll take away 1, maybe 2 things that can be a help to you. I don't expect a person to digest or even remember everything, but I hope that'll be the case. Number one, shepherd your family as you shepherd those in your ministry. Okay, what do I mean by that? Well, If you're a pastor, God's given you the ability to be able to shepherd people. Not just a natural ability, he's given you a supernatural ability to shepherd people. If you are a pastor, or if you're gifted in that particular capacity. And so use that capacity to minister to your family as well as ministering to those that are around you. Apparently, Paul did not see his training of Timothy as a conflict with his ministry. It was the training ground. Philippians 2 and verse 20, he says, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Oh, where did they serve? Shoulder to shoulder in the gospel. Paul's preaching, and Timothy's right beside him. Well, no wonder Timothy, as a young man, went out to be effectively used, probably the church of Ephesus and other places. Because he was right there in Paul's shadow. So I care deeply for those under the care of my ministry. You do too. We shed tears over them. We love them. We serve them. That is a calling that God has given to us. But I want my kids and my wife to know that I'm never too busy for them. My ministry doesn't come first. See, I study at home. We don't have a church building yet. I pray that we'll be able to get a church building soon. We're a church plant, and so we're renting right now. And so I study upstairs. They have a room set aside for that. The kids, when they come home from school, they can come up, they can give me a hug, they can tell me about the day. I want that to happen. I don't want them ever to think Dad's too busy, Dad's working on a message, whatever. They are welcome to come in and talk. Because they're the ones that matter the most. And if my sons or my daughters think that the ministry is more important than they are, then we're headed for trouble. We're absolutely headed for trouble. And so I want you to think about this in a practical way. If somebody in your Sunday school class gave you a phone call and said, hey, we've got this issue going on, you would wisely, and you'd be able to say, hey, I'll give you a Bible principle here. Let me give you some encouragement. Use that same skill, that same spiritual ability with your family. So instead of having pastors think, wow, I've gotten pulled my family, and I'm pulled the minister, a Sunday school teacher, I'm taking care of these people, or a deacon, I'm taking care of these people and my family. Use your God-given abilities in your family. What an advantage. What an opportunity that you have to be gifted by God in order to be balanced. You say, well, it's a hard thing to be balanced. And yes, it is. Need God's grace continually, but as Christ's under-shepherd, he will give you the capacity to do that. His burden is easy and his yoke is light. And I just think about that picture of the yoke. And one side is for me and one side is for Christ. And I can't pull that burden. I cannot do it. There's my best day, I will be weak and incapable. But he is on the other side. And he can bear those burdens and he can pull. And so if I'm doing it in his strength, that's what makes the difference. Number two, make the sacrifices necessary to gain your child's heart. This is something that God has been teaching me over the last several years that I've really tried to put into play. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 26, my son, listen to this pleading, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. I learned this from Brother Fugate, actually, through this outreach conference. He's been a speaker here a number of years, and he's talked about this and really put it on my radar and helping me understand these things. But I can have so many opportunities to develop my kids spiritually, but if I don't have their heart, I'm not influencing them. And so I think, well, they're in the room with me. They're in the car with me. Aren't they picking up on this? Not if I don't have their heart, they're not. Because if I don't have their heart, there's going to be a day where they go elsewhere. And so, early on, a lot of children need a lot of care. They need to be changed, they need to be fed, they need all of these things, and they grow into greater independence. But when they grow into greater independence, they ought to want to be with you. And if that's not happening, then you have to lay down some other things and say, I have to have my children's heart back. I have to. And so there have been times when I felt like with my kids, my heart, I have not had their heart like I ought to. And I've made a real matter of prayer. And I've worked very hard. I've set aside other things. We've blocked off on the schedule, one-on-one time with different kids. And I've seen the Lord break through, rekindle those things so that we are, by God's grace, where we need to be, where we need to work towards at least. I think about this in my own life. My dad worked in a factory. He went in very early in the morning, but he came back early in the afternoon. And I can remember, if I talk about my dad, In fact, he's in town right now watching our kids, so we can be able to be here at this conference with my mom. But if I think about my dad, he'd go take the baseball glove and baseball, and we'd go play catch for 15 minutes. Okay, it's not something that's, you know, we didn't necessarily go somewhere to do that, but we're together. You could tell him about my day, and he could share with me. My dad absolutely had my heart. I remember before I got married, I'd walk under a moonlight sky, and I'd say, "Dad, what do you want to tell me? Dad, what do you want to? What are the last words you want to give me before I head off and get married and go into ministry and things?" And I just wanted to hear from him. Why? Because I was that close with my dad. He had my heart. And if at any time I do not have my child's heart like I should, it needs to become a major, major prayer request at the elementary age, at the junior high level, certainly high school and college. Very, very important to have your children's heart. Number three, lead your home spiritually through being your child's primary Bible instructor. You ought to be your children's primary Bible instructor. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." So I worked with young people for 10 years before going into senior pastorate. And in working in several different Christian schools, I did notice how many parents passed off the spiritual nurturing of their children to the Christian school. And they sacrificed to send them to Christian school. And they did without things, and they thought, but now that they're in their Christian school, it's all going to be taken care of. That is not the Bible model. Mom and dad, particularly the father, has to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We have many homeschool families that were in our youth group. We had a youth group at times 40 or 50. Significant portion of that was homeschool. And one of the things that I noticed is even in that environment where the parents were very careful to want to protect their children, they didn't have necessarily a structure of a Bible family devotion time or even a Bible curriculum. Well, we have the time where they read the Word, but there really wasn't the structure in place there. And so, of course, that's not the case for anybody who's in Christian school or anybody who's homeschooled, but I'm saying just because they're protected doesn't mean they're being brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So one of the things that we try to do in a practical sense in our home is on the non-service days, not Wednesday, not Sunday, after dinner, we have a little Bible time. And it's me looking at character issues that I notice. And not necessarily reacting, although there's times for correction, but I'm trying to positively say, this is how you are to interact with other people. This is how you are to serve. This is how you're to be respectful. This is how you're to be a hard worker. And we deal with different things with character and with their relationship with God. It's not long. It's probably 15 minutes. It's really not. We have a young family at this time. We memorize Bible verses together. We pray for missionaries. We sing songs. I teach them God's Word. But it's an attempt to say, the Sunday school teachers, it's not their job. It's not the Christian school teacher's job. It's my job. I'm the father. They're my children. And I'm going to answer to the Lord for them. Number four, train your children to develop their ministry capacities now. So would you wait to teach your son how to play basketball once he's finished with his growth spurt? And he's like 17, 18. You're like, now you're tall enough to be able to, you know, maybe dunk or, you know, touch the rim. You wouldn't start then. You've missed a lot of opportunity for basketball, for instance. You'd start early on. And so you need to train your child on how to help them be effective in prayer. Train your child on how to lead them to Christ, lead others to Christ. Train your child on helping them to use their God-given abilities. This is the scripture that I have associated with this point. 1 Timothy 3:5, "For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God?" So right now, I'm trying to do this with one of my sons. So I said, "Hey, what's your favorite Bible story?" So he told me what his favorite Bible story is. I said, "Hey, let's do this. Let's surprise the family. I want you to work on this story. And I want, for one of the Bible times, I want you to share this story." "Well, I don't know, Dad." "Oh, yeah, you do a great job." And I kind of go through the story a little bit. He goes, "Oh, wait, you forgot a part." And he fills in all the gaps. I was like, "Good, he's getting it. I hope he's ready for this." And so that's exactly what I want to see happen. I want him to be trained in developing his ministry capabilities, even as a little boy. It's important to share the rewards of ministry with your kids because they probably are well aware of some of the headaches of ministry, and I'm talking about the heartache. Paul had heartache. Jesus had some heartache with ministry and with Jerusalem that rejected his coming. And so it's important for you to be willing also to share some of the rewards with your children. Number five, utilize your wife's ministry gifts, but protect her from becoming overextended. So this is an important one. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7 says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife." And Spurgeon said there's one position in the church he would never want to do. Never. He was very emphatic about it. He said, be a pastor's wife. And he wasn't saying because he's a guy. I mean, he's saying, it's impossible. He said, you cannot fulfill all the roles that are involved with being a pastor's wife. It's just too much. So a wise husband has to protect his wife. A wise deacon has to protect his wife. God has completed you through the companionship of your wife. She is a vital part of your ministry. Maybe she's specially gifted to teach. Maybe that's her niche, God-given ability. Maybe it's to serve behind the scenes. Maybe she's just very generous. Her gift is to give. Maybe it's to show hospitality. Whatever it is, the scripture says here, dwell with her according to knowledge. So don't burden her down unnecessarily while you're serving together. When some of the ministries in our church have continued to grow, one of the things that I needed to decide to do was to set aside one day to date my wife. The reason for that is her time is filled up with music practice, her time is filled up with supporting me, her time is filled up with church responsibilities, and unless I just say, this is the time, it's already blocked off, it's going to get swallowed up in just life. And so so the way that we have to do that is we have to sometimes go to another location. So God's worked it out where we have a Christian neighbor, a widow who loves our children. And so Thursday night is the day that we are on a date. We don't have to spend a lot of money. Maybe we're running an errand. Maybe we're just getting dessert. Maybe we're still at home and we just get the kids settled down a little bit early. But it's a time where we can say, this is a time when we can talk. This is a time we can sit in front of the fireplace. This is a time when we can just be together. And it is absolutely essential. There are peers of mine who are far better preachers than I am. There are peers of mine who have far more natural capacity, but they married their ministry. They didn't marry their wives, and they're not in the ministry anymore. And so I'm saying very simply, I'm in it for the long haul. I want to be in ministry as long as God gives me strength. And so it's important to spend time with your wife and make sure that that you have a marriage, that you have a family that is obviously not perfect, but is worth others following after. Number six, take advantage of providing opportunities for your children to serve the Lord at an early age. I love the scripture because Samuel's very young. But Samuel ministered before the Lord being a child. He wasn't a young prophet, he was a child, girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. There are many ways that kids can get involved in ministry. Sometimes our kids straighten up the hymn books. Sometimes our kids do different ministries. But we've made a decision as parents to get our children involved with music lessons, because they can use their musical abilities for the Lord. And so they're young, and they can be able to serve the Lord by practicing hard and being able to be a blessing in a worship service. If Samuel can minister as a child, then kids can serve the Lord at a very young age. So again, music is a great way for kids to get involved in serving, and they can use it for the rest of their lives. So I'm not opposed to any other way, but for us, we've made sacrifices. There are things that we can't do as a family because we're putting more time and more finances and more energy into music, and we feel like that's going to be a worthwhile opportunity for our kids to be able to serve the Lord now and for the rest of their lives. Number seven, include your children in your ministries whenever possible. Matthew 10, verse 42, "And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward." So last week I had several visits to make, one of them unexpected. So I was heading over to the hospital. Hadn't had a lot of time with one of my daughters that week just because of the way the week had worked out. So I said, hey, would you like to stay up a little later and go to the hospital with Dad? Oh, yeah, I'd love to do that. She jumps in the car. She talked my ear off the whole way there. We had a good visit. We ministered to the person in our church, and that was worth it, but it was worthwhile to go on the visit for the time that we got together. We're walking through the hospital. We're holding hands. She's talking to me, and I had her heart, and it was wonderful to be able to serve together in that ministry. It was precious time because it was one-on-one. Last winter, I was making a visit, and I went on a little daddy time with her, and so we went to a house. And we had had a friend who had a brother who needed Christ, and so I visited this particular gentleman with her. And then after that, we went to a concert together, my daughter. And this man that I was talking about ended up getting saved and working on discipling him and having him go on for the Lord. But, you know, that was somebody that was initiated through the first contact that I had there with my daughter. And so number 8 is take your children with you when you are doing personal evangelism. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19 says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. When my son was 5, he's a quieter guy. He likes to read, and so he doesn't interrupt. That's not really his nature. I mean, anybody could, but he doesn't typically do that. We were working our way down some apartments doing some door-to-door, and I was talking to this guy, and I'm giving him the gospel, and we're standing there in the parking lot, and my son's just pulling on my arm. He's like pulling, thinking, man, this is really out of character for him. I thought he's got to use the bathroom, and here we are, you know, doing evangelism. So I said, excuse me for a minute. I said, what is it? He said, ask him if he wants to get saved. I mean, he's over here. I think he's 5. He doesn't get it. He knew exactly what's happening. He's saying, come on, Dad, draw the net. It's time to, you know, ask him if he wants to get saved. Well, the time in witnessing in the city absolutely is important because it's sowing and reaping. But this is what's even more important to me. I want my kids to go on for the Lord. Trade everything to have my kids go on for the Lord. And instead of viewing it as, well, Dad's in the ministry and Dad has so many evening responsibilities and Dad's always studying because it seems like his messages are never done, they can be able to say, we got to have missionaries in our home. We got to be able to see people saved. We got to teach a Sunday school class, and I wasn't even a teenager yet. I got to be involved in different aspects of ministry. Well, the Lord can give you opportunity to be involved in ministry and not to make that compete. So if you can remember one thing, the burden that I want to share with you today, it's specifically to include your family and not make it a competition. And number 2 is to have your child's heart. It's essential that you have your child's heart.